Welcome back to the Catholic Dad Show. We are in part two of our series, Doug on Tap. So we are here joined with Doug Johnson. Doug, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. So today we're going a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Sober Dad.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more. You alluded to it in the last episode. If you haven't heard it, go ahead and check out the last episode where we talked about kind of an introduction to Doug, but a stay-at-home Doug is what we were talking about. But you mentioned that there was a season where you got really into alcohol. Mm-hmm. And even in the midst of the release of the movie, there was kind of an isolation or loneliness, and you self-medicated a little bit with alcohol.
Yeah.
And so, and you have now kissed drinking goodbye.
Yes. Not sure I'll ever pick it up again, but for now I'm about 14 months sober, and it's been a good 14 months, to be honest with you. But yeah, I guess, you know, I did the typical college thing where you drank to take the edge off, to be social and do that kind of stuff. And because I am a fairly introverted, shy person.
Sure.
It doesn't always come off on social media or even when people meet people. Like, if you've ever seen Ferris Bueller, I'm Cameron. Definitely not Ferris. So my wife is the Ferris.
Okay.
And I'm Cameron. And sometimes that can overlap and I can turn it on when I want to. And I'm learning through being sober that I don't have to. Like, I don't have to be the Ferris for everybody if I don't want to be.
I'm the nurse.
The nurse? Oh, no.
Bad joke. Bad joke. Moving on. Keep it going.
That likes to.
No. Nope.
Okay. That took me a sec. Sorry. So, yeah. And then sometime after we got married and she was still working at Planned Parenthood and she was a bit of a workaholic because it was like she would come home, computer, eat dinner, take a bath, go to bed. And that was kind of her routine, go to work. And I felt like, okay, well, if I'm not going to hang out with my wife, I'm going to go hang out with my buddies at the bar again. Sorry, I'm going to go back to college life.
Because you went to A&M?
I went to Sam Houston. Abby went to A&M, but we lived in College Station.
But yes. You're in a college town,
yes,
basically.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And so, and I had single friends who were all out of college, but still living that college lifestyle.
Yeah.
Going to the bars. So I was like, yeah, let's do that. And so I just kind of took a liking towards craft beers. And so I like, there's got to be something beyond Bud Light. There's got to be something beyond Budweiser, and even in here, Texas, Shiner. Like, Shiner was, like, the most exotic thing you'd ever heard of. And so I was like, oh, there's got to be something better. And lo and behold, there was. And there is. There still is.
Yeah.
And so we went on this beer tour. And, like, every time we went in, we'd try one or two new beers, and we'd get a stamp on a card. And at the end of it, we got a free beer mug.
Is this the tap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, was it the tap?
Was it the tap?
It was the Irish pub on Northgate.
Oh, it was in Northgate. Okay, because just up the road, they had something similar.
I think the
similar.
Tap does something similar, yes.
Yeah, and you have to spend $1,000 to get a $4 beer mug.
Exactly.
Yeah,
looks like a kindergartner made it on a pottery wheel. Yeah. And so, but it had their logo stamped on it, and I still have hot chocolate goes in it now.
You earned it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I kept, me and two other friends, I have all three of our mugs.
Okay.
Because we always drank at my house, so they kept their mugs at my house.
Sure.
And then I've just kept them.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that kind of got me started on drinking craft beers. Beers are higher in alcohol and alcohol content. You went from 4.5 in Budweiser to 8, 9, 10, 12.
Yeah.
On up to 20% on some beers.
Right.
Which will get you nice and
pickled.
Warm. Yeah. Yes. Nice and cozy. And so, and that kind of went up and down, fluctuated. And for the most part, I kept it even. You know, I didn't overindulge too much. And unless I did, like on a special occasion, like 20 and 30 year olds do, like you just acting like a dum-dum. And so you're doing your thing.
You lie to yourself. And
yes.
You pay for it for a week. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, anyway, and then Abby started traveling a lot. And so I'm alone a lot.
This is post-conversion.
Yes, post-conversion. So she's come out and she's not working for Planned Parenthood anymore. And we have a little more extra income. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to treat myself to my stay-at-home dadness, what I deal with here, and have a beer. And I was mostly just drinking at night, weekends, whatever, and that sort of thing. And then
it's still mostly social.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit to take the edge off after a long day.
Yes.
So
yes.
They're starting to lean into a little bit of self-medication
right.
type of realm.
The, what's the word I'm looking for? Temperance is there.
Uh-huh.
And so, and then, you know, you have your stumbling moments where you're like, ooh, I overindulged that time.
Prudence is starting to leave the room, but temperance
yes.
is still there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I, And then it just really got to a point where I hit a wall where I don't think I went a day without at least having one beer.
Okay.
For years, several years in a row where I, every single day I at least had one. And there were nights, you know, I didn't always overdo it, like I said, but then it got to a point where there were more nights where I would stay up till 2 o'clock finishing off a bottle of whiskey instead of playing video games, watching a movie and not going to bed.
Yeah.
And then there were nights where it was just like, I would get up and it would just, I would start. And like you said, when the movie came out, I guess that was 2019.
Yep.
And so I was kind of headed in that direction anyway. I was already drinking somewhat heavily. And then Abby wasn't home. And I was just like, that was just my excuse to just pretty much stay medicated or drunk.
Right.
And I had a good friend of ours. She would come over a lot and help me with the kids. And she just got, she stopped drinking with me because she's like, I got to stay.
You're drinking for two.
Yeah. I got to stay present for you and your kids.
Right.
And it got to the point where Abby just didn't really trust me with a lot of things. She's like, there was other stuff she would call me, hey, go do this. And she got to the point where she just stopped. And really communication between us broke down as a family, and a lot of other things kind of went away. And it was...
Because how do you confront that with someone you love?
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's hard.
Well, and she did... I think part of it was she didn't want to take away something I was enjoying. She knew... You know, she's like, oh, he likes to drink, so I don't want to take that away from him and make him feel guilty about it. And then also, I was occupied so she could do these other things that she'd replaced time with me with, if that makes sense.
Is alcohol bad for everyone, or was it just, it was bad for you?
I have no problems being around other people that drink.
Good. Even now? You.
Yeah, yeah, like, go ahead and drink. I won't go to a bar. I'm not ready to play with that level of fire yet. Because the smells come back and the sounds come back, and just
right.
What I really used to enjoy about going to pubs. And I loved that life. I loved nighttime.
It just seems muscle memory would put that Lone Star right back in your hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be right back to it. Like, give me that Belgium so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd get to talking to the bartender, and like, because I still remember and loved everything I learned about beer and making beer and craft beer. And
yeah,
it is a science, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I think it's great. And
did you ever homebrew?
No, I have a kit. Abby got me one, but I just felt it was better to let other people make it and me drink it. And so
hey, someone has to be the one that drinks it.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I was just the taste tester.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah.
So, yes, if it's good. It was bad for me because I allowed it to get bad for me. I made the choices that got me there. And
sure.
Yeah, I still get a little bummed out. Like, when I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind a drink right now, but I kind of did that to myself, and I'm taking hyper responsibility for it as much as I can.
Yeah.
And just being like, this was all on me. I didn't have to make that choice. I didn't have to overindulge. Like, yes, there's some chemistry and some stuff happening in your body that gets you addicted, and, you get to a point where it's kind of out of your control. But then again, I still made the choice to stop drinking, and I quit and like just kind of did it cold turkey, but we'll get to that in a minute. But
yeah,
so I think it's fine.
It's affecting where you were in the story. It's affecting your relationship with Abby.
Yes.
There's some tension, and the movie's just about to come out. It's just, things are building. Yeah.
And she was gone a lot, and I was constantly drinking. I kind of went from maybe a bottle of whiskey and a 6-pack or a 12-pack of beer, high alcohol beer a week, to 3 or 4 bottles of whiskey a week, and
wow.
Hiding it, and way more beer. And I kind of got way into the harder stuff just because it was convenient and easy. And I did love the taste, and I liked the burn when you drank it and all that good stuff. Like,
wow.
It was everything about it was the smell. I can't, there was a lot of not just muscle memory, like a memory with the smell of everything.
All the senses.
All the senses were enacted. And it kind of replaced intimacy for me. It replaced conversation, you know, and I was starting to, like, around 8 o'clock at night, whether or not I drank, I would lose my memory.
Like, you would get an alcohol fog.
Yeah. It would just, from there, I would tell Abby a story, and 5 minutes later and tell it again.
Oh, wow.
Even if I wasn't drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, I wake up and be like, I don't even remember what movie I watched. But I know I sat up and watched a movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to rewatch it or something like that. And so I was starting to notice, and Abby was starting to notice, and it was starting to irritate her quite a bit. And then I would quit for a little bit or slow down real well. and then it would build back up.
Okay.
Be like, oh, I'm not going to drink that. I'll only drink this. As right. If that makes any difference, you know? And so, and I would hide it, the amount I was spending on it by A, withdrawing cash to get liquor and beer here at HEB has a fantastic craft beer section. It just got hidden in the cost of the groceries.
Right.
And so.
And right next to the bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, so it's no big deal. And so, I was able to hide quite a bit. Like when she found out what I was paying and how much I was consuming, she was pretty put out with me. She's like, I cannot believe that. When we didn't have that fight, because I had quit when she found out. Like she's like, ugh, I don't want to have a fight and drive you back to drinking again. And so,
wow. Okay. So, wow. Okay. Yeah. So it unfolded in an order that was very favorable to Doug.
To both of us, yeah. And then if she did confront me on it, then we would just confront each other on both the ways we were neglecting, hurting.
You had a number of traits or characteristics of an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
or you were exhibiting alcoholism. Do you believe that you're an alcoholic?
You know, and so I haven't gone to AA. Okay. Decided that wasn't for me. The reasons being, we live a very public life. A lot of people know who my wife is. I know it says anonymous and it's supposed to be family-like, but you show up and one person recognizes me and decides to go
social it.
Say, Doug hit on me at an AA meeting or, cause people do end up having affairs in AA.
You've got to live a different life, man, with the public figure aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's hard.
I didn't think it would have for me what I needed. And people, oh, what about the 12 steps? I was like, I've read that. I've looked at them. And I think when you're already a professed Christian, and yes, I was drinking heavily and I was probably very separated from God, but I was still kind of going through the motions of my faith and I knew my faith well enough to know what I was doing was wrong. However, I think when you look at the 12 steps, it reads like confession. Like,
so that was my next question.
Examination of conscience.
Yeah, you don't have to answer me.
Uh-huh.
But did you ever confess abusing alcohol?
Yes, while I was drinking, and it was almost, well, I didn't go to confession for a long time after I quit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what stopped me from going. I got a flat tire in my Bronco on the way. I think Satan really like went after me hard.
Okay.
Like stopped me from going, but really it was me, like me letting him stop me. Because like if I would get a flat tire, by the time a flat tire was fixed, confession was over with.
Right.
So it was actually almost a year after I quit that I finally got into confession.
Okay.
On my birthday.
No kidding.
This last birthday I just had.
Okay.
So anyway, we were having a St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Uh-huh.
And we had breakfast and everybody went up there for it. And I was sitting there with my priest. I'm looking there. It's my birthday. I'm like, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right now. And so I went in there. We discussed quite a few things. I had some things coming up with a court case. And then I also had wanted to talk about that. And there was just a laundry list of things that had been going on that I needed written right on my soul. And I always call this maybe the worst description ever of confession. I call it diarrhea of the soul. Like you're just getting all the bad out.
Yep.
And you just leave it there. Like that's what's so wonderful about confession. What I missed as a Protestant, I didn't realize how valuable confession was until we went through RCIA. And that was very freeing, very helpful.
Was that you and Abby together going through RCIA?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We came in together.
Okay. So you guys came in together. Great.
And I'll tell you, okay, side story, fun stuff. Everybody thinks she is the dominant personality. She's not the dominant person in our house.
Sure.
Like she definitely seems to kind of be more, what's the word? Not just outgoing, but charismatic.
Sure.
Right. She draws people in a little more than I do. And so people assume that she kind of makes the rules and leads the family and does all that. But it's not quite that way. So when I want to speak, I speak and we do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, when we were coming to the church, she was having some struggling with a few things. And she's like, I don't know if I'm going in. And that I had just finished reading Theology of the Body. I'd really like what Eucharist is. It sunk into my head. And I was like, I'm on a race to get there. And I was like, well, babe, I'm going in without you.
Wow.
And I'd never said anything like that to her before. We'd only been married a few years. And she goes, okay, I'm going in. Like
why? So that emboldened her.
Yeah, she was like, okay, you're taking the reins. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
And that's beautiful.
Like,
that's
yeah,
so
she
beautiful.
Was like, well, if you're going, I guess I'm going too.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't I go with you?
Yep.
And so I was like, and your issues are, they're petty. You know, they're not petty. I was like, they're technical issues, babe. Like you're going to work that out as we go along. The wonderful thing about being Catholic is knowing you'll never have it all figured out.
Right.
And you'll always have questions. And so your questions are not reasons not to go in, because those may or may not get answered, but you know you're going to get fed spiritually.
And they don't have to all get answered today.
No.
Because you have a relationship with Christ and his church,
mm-hmm.
right? And just to say, like, you and Abby have been married for what, like,
going on 17 years.
17 yeah. years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the I do that you gave to each other,
mm-hmm.
like, you're still unpacking that. Like, what that meant, the mm-hmm. ripple effect of saying yes at that moment.
Yeah.
I'm still very much learning what it means to be married.
Right.
And I've been married for 14, 15 years. You know?
Even getting sober was like hitting a restart button. It was like starting over getting to know each other. Because, you know, yes, I married the 20-something-year-old Abby, married the 20-something-year-old Doug then. But here we are in our 40s. We're not those same people. But we had that gap where we weren't really communicating and getting to know each other along the way.
And the Doug that she married, not that he was always drunk, but he was never completely sober.
No.
And the Doug today that I'm talking to right now is completely sober.
Yes. Yeah.
That's powerful. Wow. That is a new man, a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of going along with the confession and not going to AA. Now I do go to one-on-one counseling.
Okay.
And learning just kind of what we mostly talk about in my sobriety journey is actually marriage. And marriage stuff and like how it's impacting my relationship with her. And when I went in, he was like, we're not going to talk about psychological stuff right off the bat. I need to know about your relationship with Christ and how that's going.
Yeah.
We need to build that up as much as we can so you have that to fall back on anytime right. there's temptation
yeah.
or anything like that. And honestly, I think because we built it up in a way, the temptation is like a flash of lightning these days. I'll be driving and I'll see the liquor store or making camping trips plans in my head and be like, I'm not going to get a drink around the campfire. I'll miss that. Well, now I've been camping several times since then and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
And so like those little attempts at like God just taking them away from me left and right.
That's really grace.
Kind of just moving it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's been, the first couple months were definitely hard, but if you're looking to get sober out there, embrace the suck. It's supposed to suck. You want it to suck. It has to suck for you to grow. And so
there's a sacrifice towards a greater love
yeah.
that you're embracing the suck for.
Right.
So what was it? I have a friend that struggles with alcohol. And one time after he drank way too much, this is going to be a little bit gross, but he went to the bathroom and he pooped out blood.
Nice.
It was just like, ugh. And he's like, I got to stop this. Mm-hmm. Right. Was there a moment to where you're like you're going to the sink and dumping out, like, you know, those dramatic moments on TV? Or was it just like, I think I'm exhausted. Alcohol, you win. We can't be friends anymore.
There were several. So like I said, when the movie came out, that was a big dark time for like 2 or 3 months. And then I kind of eased up on it. And then, so COVID, that all came about during spring break of that March or whatever it was.
Yeah, your birthday got canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we went out to my parents' house. We're going to just ride four-wheelers and that sort. They live on 300 acres, and we were just going to goof off and shoot guns and, you know, be country folk.
Yeah.
And we took a bunch of people with us. And then that week, COVID hit. Everything got shut down. My wife's, all her stuff got canceled. Like, and we learned we're going to go home and stay there. And like, that's it for a bit.
Yeah.
2 weeks turned into forever. Yeah.
Yep.
And at that time, we actually had a 17-year-old young lady. It was a daughter of a friend of Abby's. Like, their family was going through some things. So she came to live with us. And this was like the umpteenth person that had come to live with us.
Yeah.
As something. When I quit drinking, Abby stopped letting people move in.
I tell you, no, I just want people to hear that, because I've heard people give you, your family, a hard time of like, oh, it's pro-life because you guys are making money off of a movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys have adopted a kid. You guys open your home to literally almost anyone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so pro-life isn't something you do. It's who you guys are. And
yeah, we live it.
I want to affirm that, but mean that there's not a cross that comes in with that reality.
Well, we had to stop with letting people live with us.
Sure.
Now she has her other ministry, Pro Love, where she helps them where they're at. And they actually have housing, transitional housing for women who are abused, families. Like, they're not pregnant. They may have five kids, an abusive husband, and they need to get out of there and find new jobs to do, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So they have transitional housing for that. It's not a maternity home.
And it's called what?
It's called ProLove. So if you look up ProLove Ministries,
good.
It goes along with And Then There Were None.
And Then There Were None, yeah.
And she has several others under the umbrella.
Yeah.
So not, okay, that young lady was living with us. And then another girl that Abby had talked out of getting an abortion, who was destitute, as well as her mental stability. I'm not going to say her name, so I'm just going to say, like, she...
It was
a
growth area.
She was manic, like,
okay,
a lot. She had, it. What's it called? Borderline.
Okay.
So anybody in that field that knows, like, yes, I had a 21-year-old borderline young lady and her 8-month-old child living with us too.
Okay.
And they were about to be homeless.
Yeah.
And so Abby's like, if you don't get the abortion, I promise to take care of you. And we're still helping her. But she moved in. And then there was another girl who got kicked out of college. She was going to a Catholic university and things didn't work out too well. And she couldn't quite go home, couldn't stay at school. She came to stay with us for a couple of weeks.
This is all during the early parts of the
pandemic.
Yeah,
so I went home with my 10 plus 4.
Yeah.
Plus a good friend of mine, Heather Gardner, I think, who you know.
Like, yeah.
Big part of our story. She was the girl that answered the phone when Abby called and said, I want to leave the abortion industry. Heather's the one that picked up. Now she's godparents to two of our children and one of my best friends in the world. And
she's
very
amazing.
Close to us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you have to come keep me company with all this crazy. And so she's like, okay, well, I live alone, so I might as well come hang out with you guys. Yeah, let's do it. And so I had just given up alcohol for Lent.
Okay.
And that was a weekend, and we went home. Lent's still going on. I was like, I think I gave up my home for Lent. Go buy me some beer.
Yeah.
And that started the biggest downward spiral in drinking. So that was just out of boredom. In fact, we were all drinking. Every single person in the house was, even people that didn't normally drink, we were all drinking because there was nothing else to do.
Right.
And like they said, there was a big spike in substance abuse and suicide and all that. Like
Oreos as well, comfort foods. Like it wasn't just
everybody got fat.
Any type of self-medicating behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm sure porn usage went up if you look at, you know, worldwide.
Oh, absolutely. It was all binging everything. Yeah. Video games, TV, whatever you could, like, what are we going to watch now? Not what are we going to read? Not what are we going to pray about? It's like, well, let's find something else to watch. Because
we all were in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it went way up, and then we had some issues with those young ladies, and little by little, they left. We kind of had to ask them to leave politely or not so politely. And then another woman came to live with us, and she turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. That was an awful experience. That was the last one. And actually, so drinking went down and get dipped again. It came back up, and at another March. It seemed to be March.
Okay, so now that we're on to, I mean, this is like 16, 17 months ago now.
Yeah, this is right about where I'm going to quit drinking.
Right.
And so we had a girl, she moved in with us the summer before that. And so she'd stayed with us through fall, winter, and spring. And so here we are in the spring, and we're starting to figure out, this young lady she's not young, she was in her 40s, isn't who we thought she was, who she described herself to be. And she was quite mentally unstable as well. But before that, so you know, we had that big freeze in Texas, right? All the electricity went out.
Yep.
That was when I had one of those I need to stop moments. I'd just been steady drinking all day. Again, lights are out, bored, sitting by the fire.
Chilly, yeah.
Nothing to do. I had a generator on with a TV, but of course we're watching Toy Story because I got 8 kids.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't feel a thing all day long. And then we text all the neighbors, let's go outside in the snow. And I had a solo stove, one of these cool campfire things
that
keeps the smoke going up. They're excellent. Everybody should go buy one. And let's go out there, have a couple of drinks. My neighbor had been having a hard time, and other people, we just wanted to get away from the kids, let them sit in the house. And they got the heat on, fireplaces going, they'll be fine. And we'll sit outside and just kind of have some adult time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I felt it coming. I was like, whoa, I got to go inside and sit down.
And you felt like a buzz.
Yes. I was like, more than a buzz, like a blackout.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I go inside, and I had this horrible, ridiculous-looking, Three Stooges-looking fall. It was the most embarrassing thing, right in front of Abby. And she's like, get your ass in bed.
Yeah.
And do not get out.
Yeah.
Do not embarrass me like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And I think she threw the dog and a baby on top of me, and I slept till the next day. And I don't think I drank it again for another week. And until the lights came back on, at least. And
but
so,
that was almost your nail in the coffin.
Yes. And yeah. It was like, and Abby has always said, I'm never going to leave you, but I will get the kids and I will go to my mom's house, and you're going to have to call my mom and your mom and tell them what you've been up to. Didn't know.
Which to a degree is doing your job for you. Cause one mm-hmm. of your jobs as a father is to protect your children.
Right.
And Abby's basically saying, your wife is saying, I'm going to protect your children for you mm-hmm. by protecting them from you.
Right.
Like that's a deep cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and having to admit to two more women that I adore, my mother-in-law and my mom.
Yeah.
What I'd been up to, and the dads, like her dad called me like before I married Abby to take care of her kind of talk.
Yeah.
And,
are
like,
we he's clear?
Very stern about yeah. it. Yeah. Cause I've been married once before and he was terrible to her. And so he wanted to make sure, he's like, if I had stepped in, I wish I'd stepped in and stopped her from marrying him.
Yeah.
Cause she always wanted, he thought he should have. That's kind of in the movie. And then my dad, who even charged me with like, don't get married to someone unless you're going to do A, B, C, and D. And I wasn't doing A, B, and C. And so
yeah.
I might've been barely hanging on to D.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going through a lot of emotions. I was getting my kids up, taking them to church, but who cares when you're hungover and you're not really paying attention.
Right.
And so I was just not present at all. And my kids probably didn't care to talk to me because I was slurred speech, irritated. Like I was a happy drunk and a fun drunk 99% of the time. And I would get belligerent if you cornered me on my drinking, basically.
Sure.
And, but then it got to a point where I wasn't fun anymore. I was just obnoxious and annoying. And a burden mm-hmm. to others. And so that's kind of where I was at that point. And then I was drinking still again after that happened. There was probably a few more little seeds of like, you need to stop or something. And our good friends, the Deckers, you know, Christy,
she went on that journey.
She's yeah. probably a little over a year sober, and she'd been on me. You gotta quit.
Like worse than essential oils. Like yeah. if someone that's trying to introduce you to essential yeah. oils, like Christy and no alcohol.
And I couldn't see it. I could not see life without the alcohol.
But it blessed them. It didn't just bless her. It blessed their family so profoundly.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted your family, you to experience
and
that.
Mike was probably my only guy friends that was like, Doug, that confronted me on it. That instead of handing me beer, was like, no, taking it out of my hand, like, you got to stop.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to
He'll
do
shoot you
this.
Straight. He'll shoot you so straight.
Oh, yeah. He will, man. He's an a-hole by choice. He's like, yeah, I know what I am.
It's his love language.
Yeah. That's what he likes to be. And so, anyway, I was kind of, I don't know what brought me to ask her the question. I was like, what was that book you read that you suggested to me to her? And she was like, you know what? You've asked me too many times. You didn't buy it. I'm going to buy it and send it to your house. And so I'm like, she spent her own money on a thing for me. So I have to read it. And I hadn't read a book since my fourth kid was born.
Right.
Because who has time for that?
Right.
You know, I have time for podcasts, just mindless entertainment and video games at night, but no reading.
Right.
But, anyway, so she did that. And then I'd forgotten she'd ordered me the book. And then Abby had a friend over. My mom came over and Heather came over. And then Abby had some other out-of-town person that she knew that I'd never met before came over for dinner. And, and I'd been drinking that day. Well, I bought a bottle of tequila to make margaritas for my mom and Heather. Well, I ended up finishing the rest of the bottle. I drank the whole bottle that night. And
did you make the margaritas?
I did make the margaritas. So two margaritas, me a whole bottle of tequila.
Wow.
Okay. And then, so the next morning, I probably act like a moron the whole night. The next morning, Abby was leaving for a trip and she actually kind of got me by the thing, came in close, kissed me goodbye, did the usual hug and was like, can you please not drink while I'm gone? And the look in her face said like, I've given up. I'm not going anywhere, but I've given up and I'm done. I'm tired of asking. Yeah. This is the last time I'm asking.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was the moment.
Yeah, that was the moment. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to quit. And while she was gone, I didn't drink. I chipped a little bit because I kept getting headaches. So I'd drink a little bit of whiskey or beer here and there. And then I came home and I bought like a little flash size thing of whiskey. I forget the label. And I was like, okay, I'll just drink a little bit of this every day until the headaches stop and then I'll be done. I ended up just finishing the whole thing, standing in my garage, threw it away. And that was the last time I drank alcohol.
Wow.
And that was it.
And then you dealt with the suck. You just dealt with it.
I dealt with the suck. I still lost my memory. Uh-huh. Abby went and got me supplements. She was super supportive. She's not a very good cheerleader. Like, people probably see Abby and they're like, oh, she's probably so supportive. Yes.
She's a teammate, not a cheerleader.
She's not a back patter or a cheerleader. So she had to learn to do that. That was part of, again, hitting the reset button, learning the love languages. And then I guess we can move on to the next thing. But like, that was hitting the reset button, getting sober, and then our family just flourished after that.
Yeah.
And so it was great. Great decision.
Hardest thing from garage to now, that bottle of whiskey, that last sip to today, what was the hardest hurdle for you in regards to that step towards sobriety?
Really, getting past the mean part. Where you're like going through the withdrawal, and everybody around you is pissing you off constantly, and it's just like your skin wants to peel off sometimes too.
Because last time when that happened, you went and self-medicated.
Yes.
Right, and now you've got to deal with it.
Well, the fact that I'm not self-medicating is pissing me off. Uh-huh. Like, everything is making me upset.
Okay.
And like, and just
so you're in angry Doug mode.
Yes.
For a week, a month?
2 to 3 weeks.
Are you still mad? Like,
No.
Okay.
I'm definitely a much happier person. And I was already, I take an antidepressant anyway.
Okay.
And so, so that was also part of the self, like, I do deal with depression, so the self-medicating on top of that.
Right.
Plus antidepressant and all that, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so now I've just gotten it down to just the antidepressant and really learning what life looks like without your, I'd attached everything to alcohol. So I'll say this is the hardest part. Pushing my kids on a swing without a drink. What does that look like? Going and doing it. Just getting through that, like not having the urge to go grab a drink.
Yeah,
cooking dinner.
Just backyard time after mowing the lawn, right? Yes. These are times when beers are just awesome. Yeah.
I just finished a drink, so I get another drink.
Right.
Like everything I do or was doing at the time, I had attached to alcohol. Like, oh, I'm watching a movie, time to drink.
Yeah.
Talking to a friend, time to drink.
Yeah.
Had a hard day, time to drink. Had a great day, time to drink.
Yeah.
Like, my wife just called me the great news, time to drink. Like, it was anything was an excuse to drink. It got to a point where
punctuation.
Yes. And it got to a point where, like, Saturday, 10 o'clock, oh, I'm barbecuing, go take a few pulls of alcohol. Or it got to a point where that was like that on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, like, kids are at school, I'm by myself, I'll sober up by the time it's time to go pick them up from school. And so that's kind of how deep it had gotten.
Wow.
And so just removing that from my...
Say and you'll say it 100 times and I'll accent it, but like, it's worth it. It is worth it. Worth it.
Yes.
Because I think Catholic dads out there, like, we have to talk about the fact that a lot of us are self-medicating in unhealthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
For you, it was alcohol. For many of us, it's alcohol.
Yes.
Right. Some people it's pornography. Some people it's video games or withdrawn people staring at their phones, you know, all the different things. But not drinking, your sobriety has allowed you to be more present.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to a degree, hasn't just allowed Doug to flourish, but your fatherhood to flourish and your family to flourish because of that.
Right.
Okay, last question, and then we got to wrap things up. But if you today could go back 2 years and tell non-sober Doug something, and in a way that he would receive it, because I think all of us have friends in our lives, or maybe we are that person that needs to hear what you would want to tell yourself. What would that thing be if you could go back 2 years and tell your non-sober Doug something?
I would tell him, you're going to eventually do it and it's going to be worth it, but I wouldn't change the timeline. I'm not saying, would I quit sooner? Yeah, I'm sure it would have been great if I had quit sooner, but I like my story the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Things. And so it's kind of like with the abortion thing. Like, I can't go change any of that.
Right.
You know, like, and you can't play the what if game, especially when your wife has aborted 2 children.
Yeah.
So I can't play the what if, like, what would my family look like? Would I still have my kids now?
Right.
If she hadn't have done that.
Right.
Like, I just kind of have to accept it and know that they would have really loved being a Johnson.
Right.
You know, and so same thing with sobriety. Like, I just kind of have to be like, okay, I did that. I made that decision. So I would definitely go back and I think it would calm my nerves to have me appear out of nowhere, older me, and be like, hey, it's going to be fine. You're really going to enjoy it. Life's going to get better. And you're going to have a lot more sex. I think that would have
been great. So marital intimacy.
Yes. All the intimacy. You're going to get more hugs and kisses from your wife and your kids, and you're just going to have a lot more fun. You're going to enjoy vacations way more.
Going to be more present to those moments.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Hey, Doug, thank you so much for sharing the journey to Sober Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. 14 months.
Yeah.
I can't wait to celebrate 24 months and on and on and on. To the dads listening, listen, like there is going to be a time where alcohol is not a part of your life one way or the other. And so embrace that reality like Doug encouraged the Doug of the past.
Yeah.
To embrace. Follow us, like, subscribe, do all those things, and stay with us. We've got part 3 in our Doug on Tap series, and that's coming up soon. And we believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world, and we know it does. And so we want you to be a part of that and continue to journey with us here at the Catholic Dad Show. If you want to find Doug, learn more about Doug, tell him how to do that.
It's on all the social media. It's Doug on Tap. And I'll add on this episode that I keep my messaging open, my private message open on Facebook. So if you want to talk to me about you're struggling with alcohol, every time I post about alcohol, I get at least 2 or 3 people every single time, new people that ask me questions. And then a month later, they're telling me how well they're doing.
Good.
For quitting alcohol.
Yeah.
And so you don't see it happening. And then you're like, well, okay, this does help people. So yes, I'm not an expert. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can just tell you my journey and encourage you on yours. And I think that's really the biggest key to sticking to it.
And Doug on Tap is his username.
Yes, yes. I started that name for a love of craft beer, and I'm going to keep it because I'm still on tap, sir.
It's just now alcohol-free.
Yeah,
and it's
water
not,
and root beer on tap.
It's not a non-alcoholic thing. It's just authentic Doug.
Yes, so, I'm just pouring in my heart out, so there you go.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us at the Catholic Dad Show. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.